This is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. 2017 Keystone Progress Summit was held at the Hilton in Harrisburg, PA, February 17th to the 19th. Democrat Chris Rabb, newly elected state representative from District 200 in Philadelphia, spoke as part of the keynote luncheon on Saturday, February 18th. Chris Rabb is introduced by Pat Clark, the board chair of the Keystone Progress Education Fund. This audio is recorded by Sean Kitchen of Raging Chicken Press.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Keystone Progress Summit. Great to have you here for lunch. Thanks to everyone for being here. I hope you had a fantastic and productive morning. My name is Pat Clark. I'm a small business owner from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm also the board chair of the Keystone Progress Education Fund, our 501c3 organization. Thank you very much. Loving board, and it is my sincere and distinct pleasure to introduce a 2016 success story, which is a good thing, and I'm proud to have Chris Rabb here. He's one of Pennsylvania's newest state legislators, and he's representing the bluest dot in the state, Northwest Philadelphia's 200th legislative district. After waging an insurgent grassroots campaign that coupled old-fashioned door-knocking with social media, as an unaffiliated outsider, Chris toppled the establishment-backed frontrunner by 7 points. In a three-person primary race last April, how many times have you seen that happen? In a district that hadn't hosted a contested race since 1983. Who was here alive in 1983? That's right. It's a while. He was endorsed, I'm glad to say, by our C4 organization, Keystone Progress. And he was one of the national People's Action Hot 20. He was hot 20 on the list of progressive candidates nationwide, and on November 8th, he became the first state representative in Pennsylvania history to earn over 34,000 votes, which proves when you turn folks out, you win. As a father, teacher, genealogist, social justice activist, and author, Chris has also helped to unionize 1,500 fellow adjunct professors at Temple University last year. Last year, before he was abruptly uninvited to teach at the Fox School of Business, where he was recruited 4 years prior, due in large part to his book about entrepreneurship, something close to my heart, and structural inequality, also close to my heart, called Invisible Capital, How Unseen Forces Shape Entrepreneurial Opportunity. I'm going to repeat that one more time, because somebody wanted to know about the last book. Chris's book is Invisible Capital, How Unseen Forces Shape Entrepreneurial Opportunity. Without further ado, the man who has just informed me that he will be introducing a House resolution to make Pennsylvania, and I'm proud to say this, as one of the authors of welcoming Pittsburgh's municipal immigration plan, a sanctuary commonwealth resolution. State Representative Chris Rabb. Don't get him.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for that kind introduction. It's an honor to be here and to speak to you, fellow progressives, in these times of regressive politics that target the most vulnerable members of our society for blame and scapegoating. These times of regressive politics that seek to recolonize the bodies of women who have fought so hard and for so long to be sovereigns of their own flesh. These times of regressive politics that give birth to a strange new vocabulary like alternative facts and fake news. I came to this summit here in Harrisburg last year as a progressive outsider looking to commune with fellow troublemakers. Needless to say, I found you all quickly. I'm here again. This time as the newest state representative from Pennsylvania's mighty 200th legislative district. And I'm still a progressive outsider, looking for fellow troublemakers in Harrisburg, only now I have an office in the state capitol, thanks to many of you. And it was a stunningly oppressive election day. When I thought my children would be laughing and applauding, they were crying miserably, despite Daddy's victory. The national elections are not what we had hoped for or planned for, but you know what they say about plans. Humans plan and the universe laughs. Or as my mother likes to say, life ain't fair and tomorrow ain't promised. And while it is important to keep our eyes on what's happening at the national level, that must not shift our focus from the immediate statewide and local lens. Because progress and social evolution always begins locally. Sometimes it comes in the form of spectacular popular movements that sweep the country. Like the movement when the brave woman sat down in 1955. Or when those nine brave high schoolers escorted by federal marshals went to school in 1957. Or when brave young people fed up with the growing grotesque inequality decided to occupy Wall Street. Or when millions of women and girls and their allies put their lives on hold and took to the streets in cities all over the country post-inauguration. But more often, change, progress, and social evolution comes in the quiet persistence of citizens committed to their communities, committed to a moral code, committed to change. Other times, change comes simply when people no longer can bear the status quo. The citizens of my district, stirred by the untenable economic, environmental, and social realities, saw hope in a progressive fellow resident running for office, and they protested at the ballot box. And I'm here as the result. I am a movement-born public servant. I carry and take very seriously the trust of my constituents, their hope for a better future, their fears of present dangers, and I intend to invest my time, energy, creativity, and resolve to do right by them. And while I'm only one man, I move through today on broad and sturdy shoulders of history, and I act accordingly. My grandfather's grandfather, Jack, was owned by the Rabb family in the 1840s. He did what he had to do and eventually bought his family and himself out of freedom. His father was kidnapped from South Central Cameroon, transported to the coast, and survived the harrowing Middle Passage to toil in the brutal cotton fields of South Carolina in obscurity for the enslaver Rabb family. On another branch of my family tree are five generations of enslavers, some of whom own their own daughters and sons. My most famed ancestor through rape was none other than Philip Livingston of New York, a signer of the Declaration of Independence. In this way, I'm an embodiment of this country's most anguished pain, its dirtiest past, and its most resolute and unbending struggle for universal human dignity. I am as much a product of our nation's culture of rape as I am of its culture of hope. My grandfather was denied schooling past the 10th grade in his native Mississippi because state lawmakers, didn't believe black people had the right or the intellectual capacity to merit anything else. He went on to become a physician, Kentucky's first black anesthesiologist, and a civil rights leader who helped lead the cause of social justice alongside my grandmother, who was a high school math teacher who taught Muhammad Ali, and was a longtime treasurer for the Louisville NAACP. Their son, my late father, was a good and humble man. He was no firebrand, but a remarkable trailblazer nonetheless. When it was time for him to go to college, he was denied access to higher education in his native Kentucky because over 40 years prior to him applying to college, a Democratic state representative stumbled onto the integrated campus of Berea College and was mortified to see black and white students learning side by side. So Representative Day passed the Day Law in 1904, outlawing integrated higher education in Kentucky. But my father walked in the path of that his parents paved, which prepared and fortified him to desegregate the University of Louisville in 1950 and the med school in 1952. Do not mistake these family stories for "if you work hard enough, you will succeed" type of narrative. My father was an exception to the rule, who managed to navigate the vehemently anti-black web of state laws and customs. He was an outlier in a terribly unfair social structure that was meant to degrade him in favor of white exclusivity. The problems he faced, like the ones we still face, are structural. And while we have collectively managed to become a better, more evolved society, precisely because of the struggle of brave women, men, and children from Little Rock to Standing Rock, we now find ourselves in a time of public discourse that is again about walls and barriers, about exclusion, suppression of voting rights, closing doors, and rampant disenfranchisement. But I believe we are capable of not only facing these challenges, but of making progressive changes at the state level to advance the issues of women and children, students and academia, the elderly, the disabled, the LGBTQ community, Muslims, blacks and Latinos, Native Americans, and so on. With a glorious and wounding history at our backs and an unbending resolve at hand, I am committed to progressive change for my district, for my Commonwealth, and for our country. And more importantly, to my two movement-born sons and all of our daughters and sons. Thank you.